I was trying to get out of it, and I couldn't quite get out of that teasing anointing. So I said, ask your wife if she would also do a little preaching for us, knowing that she would probably sweat bullets. She did. See? Prophetical. There's a prophetical anointing in the house. She's an amazing young lady, and she's coming to share a word with us, a testimony. Appreciate her heart and spirit. So give her a great welcome.
So, yeah, my husband turned and said, he wants you to preach. And I was like, what? That's it. So anyway, but I did feel like God gave me this little thought, itty bitty thought, 2 minutes max. Lately, my husband and I and our kids, we're all in the public school realm. I'm a substitute teacher. And it's just been discouraging because there's been so many weird things out there. I mean, you can't even walk through the grocery store without seeing something like makes you kind of stop. As a Christian, and I think it kind of goes back to what he was preaching about, that your spirit doesn't quite align with things that you see. And whether it's negativity or anxiety or just something like weird. And it's disturbing. And I think that's good because we shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't be happy when we see evil. But as Christians, we can't run and hide. We can't just stay at home, lock the doors, never leave, hide under a rock, because God has called us to be a light. That's what we're supposed to do. So how do we stay sane in these crazy times? And how do we not change who we are because of what's around us? And God gave me this verse, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So the answer is not to change our opinion because everybody else says this is normal. The answer is not to just give in. But we can be a light. How can we do it? Is through the renewing of our mind. And it's all about how we think. So we keep our minds full of the word of God and his truth. And we use our worship and praise as a weapon. And it's worth the fight. We can do this. We have God on our side. So be encouraged today. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthen us.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Wow. That's inspirational. Inspiration is substance. It is something real. The inspiration of the Almighty. That little phrase, the inspiration of the Almighty, it only appears once in Scripture. The inspiration of the Almighty. God in his almightiness would like to pour his almightiness into our inspiration so that it's not just a feeling, but there's power in there too. His almightiness. Praise God. I love Brother Roland. He's just a man of an excellent spirit too. And that was beautiful, Sister Roland. And that is very encouraging. Nobody overdoses on encouragement. I love these guys. And I want to bring them back to help us in the Sunday school from time to time, just depending on how they're... He's a busy man and he's in demand. And you know how that goes. And then he's got, I don't know how many ministries in his home church. But I do know this. Their home pastor, who is an amazing man, our presbyter, Mike Wilson, he loves these guys very, very deeply, and rightly so. Love to bring them to the pulpit right now. Let's give them a hand of welcome.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. God is good. Amen. You appreciate your pastor and Sister Meadows. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to work with all the ministry and be with all of you. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I believe he's already done something. How many believes that God's already did something for you? How many believes that God's about to do something more for you? How many wants God to do something for you? How many needs God to do something for you? I want to challenge you with something right now. Our words are powerful, and I believe this. And when I was doing Tennessee camp this summer with the kids, God gave this to me every night or every service. God gave me a different word to have the kids chant. I'm going to have you guys do it with me. Repeat after me. I believe it.
I believe it.
I receive it.
I expect it.
And then the last one is a little bit more. Say, it's mine in Jesus' name. What do you need? Those kids started to say it, and by the last service, it was unbelievable because every night they just built on it. The first night was, I believe it. Everybody say it again. I believe it. The next one was, I receive it. Say, I receive it. I expect it. It's mine. In Jesus' name. Whatever you need, I want you to imagine it today. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's spiritual. I don't care if it's your family. Whatever it is you need, if it's a physical touch today, I want you to think about it for just a moment. Close your eyes. And in faith, I want you to say, I believe it. I receive it. I expect it. Whatever that answer is that you want, that you need for this church, for this town, for this county, whatever it is, I believe it, I receive it, I expect it. Now say it, it's mine in Jesus' name. God is here today. Really quickly, I heard, I believe it was Brother Mangan once said about his books that if he didn't say something about them, that God wouldn't give him any more. And he's like, so I want more, and I'm going to do it that way. So really quickly, a lot of what we do is with the children's ministry. Pastor Wilson, I give honor to him. Brother Meadows mentioned him already. We have a great pastor, and we're thankful for him. We've been with him for 9 years now, and God's just opened a lot of doors, and we've grown a lot under his pastorship, and I'm thankful for that. And one of the things that God's done, and I try to use whatever I can for God. And so the last time we were is about 6 years ago, so that means we might have had 3, maybe 4 books max at that time. And God's given us a few more. We have a Wise and Silly series, and they're all carried through Pentecostal Publishing House. We weren't expecting to bring a lot with us, so I just grabbed what we had really quick. If you want to get them, cool. If not, that's okay. But they're here if you want to bless families, friends. Christmas is coming as well. First, well, there's a series. Wise and Silly is the houses. Since we can't call anybody a fool, we call them silly. The first story is all about the wise and foolish man. The second one is the Christmas book, which is out there. The reason for Christmas is Jesus. The third one is the 3 pigs and the truth, or how to build your house for God. According to Acts 2:38, the first house is repentance, baptism, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And you got to keep that fire burning. And if you ever open the door, guess what? The big bad wolf will come in and devour you, even if you have the Holy Ghost. What? Amen. I was just, you said say what, so I did. So in Jesus' name, this one right here is the next one they challenged us. It's all about in Jesus' name. And so basically the first part is everything we do in Jesus' name. The second half is why we do everything in Jesus' name. Then God gave me this one, and I didn't realize it at the time, but this wound up being the last in the series for Wise and Silly. For the moment, God's got more in the back burner. We'll see. Keep going, keep going. Don't ever stop. Keep going, keep going. You know, you will reach the top. Essentially, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs in your journey, but don't stop. And when you get to the top and get to your victory, guess what? There's more mountaintops ahead, so don't stop. God's got more victories and stuff for you. Then they wanted us a new challenge, and our one friend that comes with us at Children's Ministry is Sunshine. Sunshine, how to get to heaven. Basically, you can know how to get to heaven, but if you don't have it in your heart and you don't actually practice it, whoops. This one right here is all about love. Sunshine's all about that. I got another couple, 3. If you think about us, pray that God will give us wisdom with this. God's got another series to continue with this, which I'm really excited about. But this one basically is that God is love, and that for God so loved the world. And then I finally got my wife to write one. I've written and illustrated all of these, and I've been asking her. I was like, okay, long story short, you want the long version, ask me afterwards. This one here is Trudy and the Cupcake of the Month contest. And it's all about God made you special. You don't have to change everything to be special for God. God wants you the way you are. You come and God will help you and God will take care of you. Then God gave me another one, a different, and this totally all by itself, standalone. This is Stuffy and the Scarecrow. He's a scarecrow that's simply afraid of crows. Go figure. Can't really do what you're being asked to do and fulfill the purpose of God if you have fear in your life. And if you don't start to stand up and praise and worship and give God glory, you're never going to understand or be able to see the fulfillment of what God has for you, and that's what he has to go into. And this one here just has a couple songs on his 10 songs that God's given us. We got more, but we haven't got them on CD or anyway yet. This is just me and a ukulele with a bunch of songs for kids. Emily, can you come here, baby? All right. Give Emily a big hand clap for me. Woo-hoo! There we go. Thank you. And so now I praise God for the more. Because I just shared that. He's going to give me more. So now, I come to you this morning in a suit, not a clown outfit. That's how I differentiate when people call me up. There's like, I was like, how do you want me to come? In a suit or in a clown costume? And my pastor had felt to talk with Brother Meadows, and I had no idea the conversation was going, but God's given us the opportunity to be here with you all here today. And in the small ways already, and in my head, big ways, God has confirmed already what I'm about to share. And 100%, I feel confident today with what I'm going to share. I don't know how long it'll be, but as soon as God says stop, I'm going to stop. And then as soon as that happens, God can speak to you. God can give you the miracle you need before I'm done. If you feel the stop in the middle and you feel the come in here, I already have some things in my mind of what God wants to do. But I believe there's more than what was prayed for already, that God wants to do the miraculous in your life. What Pastor spoke this morning to us in the room there in his office, that in he asked, What do you want, God? What do you have to share? I was like, I don't have anything to share. That was the thought that went through my head. I didn't plan anything. But then I remembered that God spoke to me this morning. And I'm going to read this. This is not necessarily, but this is, I believe, preparation for you for what God wants to do. Not just now, but consistently. I read this morning, I felt God told me to go to John chapter 14. It was just a thought. I'm just going to read it to you. This isn't text or anything else. This is just extra. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. How many knows that Jesus did a lot? Did you capture what was said? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So here's the challenge. How many's ready for a challenge? Before I get into any text, before I do anything, I've already had you say with your words, I believe it, I receive it, I expect it, it's mine. Now I want you guys to do something, because it says in Scripture, we're practicing. So I have nothing about me, but I want you to ask right now for whatever you need. And I'm not asking for something small. God, help me to get a dessert today. That'd be my children's prayer. But now that's silly, and I'm glad he did that, because we can get excited over the small stuff. But what do you really need from God today? I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel an anointing. Close your eyes right now in Jesus' name. Ask. I can't ask for you. Whatever you ask right now in Jesus' name, God's going to do. In the Holy Ghost, I ask you, open your mouth and ask. Whatever it is. If you have children that have been astray, God's about to bring them back. If you ask right now in Jesus' name, there's a Holy Ghost anointing. It's already been confirmed. God's going to do it. Ask. Don't just sit. Don't beg. Just ask. Ask right now. It's not a beg. God doesn't expect us to come begging right now. The windows of heaven are open. He's about to pour something out in Jesus' name. Just another moment. I need somebody to ask right now. I need somebody to ask right now in Jesus' name. Come on, whatever you need. If you haven't had something, the Holy Ghost dose right now, God's about to do it for you. In this service, before you leave, God's about to do the things, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you, God, to pour out a blessing that this church, this walls, this service cannot hold, that it will affect, Lord, in Jesus' name, that it will affect, Lord, for years and generations, that this moment will be remembered, God, because of their faith, because of their asking, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, if you've asked, I want you to say it with me right now. Say it again. I believe it. I receive it. I expect it. It's mine. In Jesus' name, give Jesus a big hand clap. Come on, come on. When we clap our hands, there's chains that are breaking. When we clap our hands, there's things that are being destroyed. Lord, I thank you, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise God. That's preparation now. How many believes it? How many has faith stirring inside of you right now? God's doing it. It's already done in Jesus' name. And we're going to receive it. We're going to walk into it now. In 1 Corinthians 10:13. Here we go. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. There's common stuff all over the place. Did you realize the things that you're going through is common? Other people have been before you. Other people have already gone through stuff similar to you. But God is faithful. Amen? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The things that you're going through, God's already said, guess what? Sometimes I think personally of this verse, a lot of temptation of, ooh, temptation to sin. What about the temptation not to receive the things or to shut down God's voice or the temptation to not listen to what God has or the temptation to not receive the promises that God has already said are yea and amen? There's no temptation taking you, but such is common. Others have, and if you're not careful, you won't receive the blessings in Jesus' name that God has for you. But I've come to say that it's for you, and God's given you a way to receive it today in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy 1:6-7, Paul writes to Timothy saying, wherefore I put in thee in remembrance, don't forget, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You have power inside of you. God has already said in his word, and I love the New Testament where Jesus, I love it when my Bible has red letters for many years, and even still today, I'll just skip everything else and read the red letters because I want to know, what did he say while he was here? He said that remember, stir up the stuff inside of you, because what I put inside you, you're able to do more than what I did when I was here in flesh, because I'm in you now. And when I have a vessel to be able to work in, guess what? A willing vessel is going to be, oh, come on now. It's going to be the miraculous will pour out of you. Oh, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind or a disciplined mind. What is it that God's been putting in your heart? What is it you've been fighting lately? What is it that your mind has been saying, oh, it's over. Oh, it's done. No, it's not. It hasn't even begun yet. Because, what is it? How is it? Pastor Bible Quizzer, the latter will be than the... Guess what? The best is yet to come! Unless you're tempted to not receive it. Unless you don't move in the things that God has already given in his word. Unless you don't believe it. You can believe it, but maybe you don't receive it. And maybe when you walk out of your home or every day fresh, you don't expect it. The expectation of what God has for us is powerful. And that is how we activate our faith. And then we say it in our words. It's mine, God. I don't have a clue how. But it's mine. I don't understand how this is going to have freedom in this world today. But it's ours. It's not just mine. I claim it for you too. But God's expecting you to receive it too. What is it that God is doing? So if today, I'm going to try and stay in my notes. New terms. That's the title. The world says what God says isn't going to happen. The world wants you to question, how is there going to be, the latter is going to be greater than the former? Yeah, right. Instead, we go to Revelations. Oh, it's the end times. Hide! Okay, so you might be right, but you don't have to hide. Because where sin doth abound, what? Doth much more abound. Guess what? When you feel like, oh, I've gone too far, grace, undeserved love, doth much more abound. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because where I'm weak, he makes me strong. Where I'm nothing, he is everything. Where I have fear, he is my hope. He is the hope. And I can lean on him. Woo! I think I'm romping and stomping. I haven't even got there. Please don't think I'm yelling at you. I'm just really passionate and I'm excited right now for what God has. That's about the only time I'll say that. Now you're just going to let it go. So if my sermon today is all about new terms, I need to give this to you really quickly, the definition before I go on. The definition of terms, I believe it's Webster's, possibly, or Google, Dr. Google. The official condition, this is the definition of terms, the official conditions that someone must agree to before they can start to be employed by someone. Are you sure? I'll read it again just in case you didn't. All right, we got this. See, you already told me you're artsy, and I teach art, so we got this. All right. So the official condition that someone must agree to. This is a definition I found. The official condition that someone must agree to before they can start to be employed by someone. Who are you taking orders from? What are the terms that you are agreeing to in your life? The world and the enemy tries to give us terms. And if we agree to them, we're going away from the terms that God's laid out. If you agree to those terms, according to the definition only, this is not Bible, this is just definition, the official conditions that someone must agree to before they can start to be employed by someone. If you get employed, guess what? You're going to get a wage. I don't know about you, but the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is through. Who are you taking terms from? Other confirmation, Sister Meadows, your words that you gave empowers me today because you danced all around and actually went to 1 Samuel chapter 17, 2 through 11. If you have your Bibles, you want to go there. I'm going to be in this a lot. My mom always told me, sometimes storytelling's good, but when you read from the Word, it's powerful. So just read it sometimes, son. So here we go. You know this story, but God's given this to me, and I'll be honest, I've preached this a few different places that God's allowed me to, but God's confirmed this, that it's for you. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. How many knows the story? Where am I going? What's the kid version title of this? Who and who? What is it? All right, how many knows what happens? Don't tell anybody that doesn't raise their hand. Don't spoil it. I'm just kidding. But I want to read that verse again because we give Saul and the men of Israel a bad rap on this. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So you got the picture. I want to paint it fresh. The first thing you need to understand is Saul and the men of Israel did not start afraid. They came to fight. Read. Go into history. I'm having fun calling you Pastor Bible Quizzer. I hope you understand that's with respect because of your sense of humor. I feel like I am comfortable to joke. But am I incorrect that they'd already been to battle more than once before and won? Saul and the men of Israel were not wimps.
They had many times went to army and to battle and to war, I should say, many times before. They were guys that knew how to win a battle. They came under the same terms that they had always come before and won. And they were ready to go that day. But something happened. Verse 4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. What's going on? Hey, do you see that? Something's happening down there in the valley. Something's going on right now. We're ready to get this battle started. We've pinched our tents, meaning we're not going to just come in and go. This is going to take a while. We're ready to do some battle. But then there's this some guy came up, Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span, estimation around 9 foot tall, right? And he had a helmet of brass about his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail. That's that chain stuff there. A weighted coat was, I'm real technical there, so there it is. It's a chain stuff. It was 5,000 shekels of brass, about 125 pounds. If the guy's 9 foot tall and he's got a lot of meat on his bones, we'll probably say he's at least 400, right? So we'll say 400, glad, good. So 400 is confirmation there. 400 pounds and then 125, so it's 525 pounds we're talking so far. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, that stuff on his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. Okay, and so that's probably, let's just guess, maybe another 100 pounds. So we're talking maybe 500 pounds now this guy weighs. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. So that's just the staff of the weaver. That's like huge. That's like really, really long. Let's say that's at least another 50 pounds, all right? And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. That's about at least another 15 pounds. And one bearing a shield before him. It's like he's got all this stuff on him. He can't even carry his own shield. So it's like, all right, there it is. This guy prepared for something. He had come prepared to switch up everything. And then he said some stuff. But wait, some say, before I go there, this is another thing, just to kind of make it intimidating for us here and to understand that these men of war that had already won battle, why they became afraid. Some say that weaver's beam and that spear, some say in history that there was actually like a chain or something connected to the actual spear. So maybe it was tied around his wrist so that when he threw it, whoosh, he could pull it back. And I always figured, oh, you got a spear, it's a one-time thing, until I read that in history. So it's now, you throw it, whoosh, you can bring it back. It's like a fishing line. Throw it again, whoosh, bring it back. But here's the other thing. It's also supposed to be body piercing. Like the armor is, it's gonna, that end of that spear could pierce armor. So think about all of that. You got a guy that if you get close to him and he falls on you, you're pretty much done because he's heavy. And then now he's got a spear that if he throws it, he's gonna do it again if he misses. And if he does hit you just a little bit and wings you, he's gonna pull it back and throw it again. And maybe if it's stuck to you, he'll pull you in and then take you out and finish the job. So all of that, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Why are you coming out here to do the same thing that you've done before? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. Now, I never really heard about this until I started researching this a little bit, and God gave this to me in a different way. This was called some kind of ancient time history. It's called single combat. You ever heard of this? Anybody ever studied this? I had never heard of it before. Never heard it preached before. But this was called single combat, and apparently it was common in that time. And it basically, without all the goriness of it, we've got different ages in here, let's just say that if two people would fight, it'd be a lot less blood. Perhaps hundreds or thousands of people would be saved. However, you had to have somebody that was ready to do combat. Choose you a man and let him come down to me.
If he be able to fight me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, here it is, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. In verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those, what's it say? Words of the Philistine, they were, what's the next word? They just like lost everything. They lost all of their get up and go. They lost everything that they had already done in their huddle over there. Team, go, team, go, team. Well, we'll take them out. Yeah. They lost it all. It was like, go. What? And they were greatly afraid. Then David comes onto the scene. And at this point, I believe it had happened evening in the morning, day after day possibly. How long had this happened? I'm not exactly sure. But this had been common occurrence that no war was fought. But they stayed there ready and waiting for something to change. But no one was willing to stand up and fight. They were good collectively, but not one individual was ready to stand. Wow. Not one person individually had enough. What'd she say? What was your title again? The Time? War for Our Time, right? I have it in my notes, but I left my notes over here. I took a whole page in your notes. I loved it. You see, the enemy came and said, I just want one. Who's got enough of something inside by themselves? And so now David came in to do his thing. He had been in with the sheep, and his dad said, hey, go. Take this. Take this food to your brothers who are also in the war. Take it. And so he came, and a long story short, we know the story, so to get to the point, 1 Samuel 17, 33 to 39, and Saul, now he has an audience with Saul, King Saul, said, Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. You see, the terms that they went to or with changed because someone said so. And because one man said that there were new terms, even the king himself had believed those terms because they had been said day after day after day, shouted from the valley, which means it was echoed back and forth. So when it was said, it probably said, send me a man, send me a man, send me a man. I defy the armies of Israel. I defy. I defy the armies of Israel. Back and forth. You got words echoing in your head right now? You got words and thoughts that are going through your mind right now? Maybe that's how it sounds and how it sounded to those guys. And he said, "I, you're not able to do it. You're just a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. My servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. You can't come against my God and be able to stand. You can't be able to do it. I defy it because of what he said. Are the thoughts that you're having going against the word of God? Then stand and defy it, because it's not true. I'm not defeated. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Whew. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, and said unto David, go. Saul said, go, and the Lord be with thee. Woo! I got release. I'm going. And then Saul apparently didn't actually let him go, because he pulled him back. He said, go, boy, go. But then the next verse says that Saul was still on the terms of the enemy, because Saul armed David with his armor, the best armor, probably the strongest armor. They weren't dumb. They knew that if history's telling us, they already knew that that spear, if it goes through that or hits that, it's not going to just bounce off, man. It's going to go through the armor. So I want you to have the best armor in this entire army. I'm the king. I got the best. And I want you to put it on. And he put on a helmet on his head. And he armed him with a coat of mail. And then David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go. He's like, I can't do this. This doesn't feel like what God told me to do. This doesn't seem right because I'm going to war. But maybe I'm still gonna. I don't know those things that Goliath said. I still need to agree to those terms at least a little bit. I need to just. I don't know. I know I'm gonna win the victory, but maybe I won't. You see what I'm saying? It's like he agreed, Saul said go, but then he, by giving him the armor, what Goliath was asking for was a hand-to-hand combat. Come on, dude. Let's go. You come to me. Let's fight. I've prepared. You guys prepared for war. I prepared for each of you individually. But Saul, I can't go with these, for I have not proved them. And David took them off. You know what the importance is? Is that we need to take everything in our mind that we're trying to make account for and be like, you know what? I might be able to do this. I don't want to offend anyone by my praise. So I'm just going to maybe back it up a little bit right now. I don't know if I'm going to be offensive if I pray out loud or pray in the Holy Ghost right now. So I'm going to back that up just a little bit and I'll go forward, but I don't know. I can't act like that because what God's put inside of me and when I've taken care of the sheep and the anointing that I felt whenever I was doing stuff. And I already know that God's given me this sling for a purpose. And that God's going to do something with it. And so he took it off. And then David was not used to this type of armor. So he reached instead for what he knew. In verse 40, he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. Here it is. He did everything he felt to do. And he started walking. And he got closer. Now imagine a 9-foot man when you're way up. He saw him. He had his armor, so if there was any sun out, he was gleaming. Everything was there. It had intimidated every other person in that army, including the king. And here came David without any armor. And then when he did, the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. It's like, what? For he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. He started looking over the competition. Are you afraid of what you look like when it's just you and God? Are you afraid to go and face the enemy when it's just you and your prayer and your praise and the word? David just went, and the Philistine looked and said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me." Everybody say, "Come to me." "And I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Now, I need to give you a little bit of something here. The enemy, whatever you're facing, that comes against us, whether it's our flesh, the world, or Satan and all of that, right? Whatever it is that's coming against us, first off, you have to understand something. This is, I've read a little bit. Some people speculate because of his height and because of the growth that he is, not all of his normal functions were normal because of the height of his growth and everything else. So look at this for a minute.
one of the things that they say is that, if you notice, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Why? His vision, right? You've studied that. You've heard that. Isn't that cool? And then you come to me with staves. It says back here that he took his staff in his hand. Potentially, he had double vision. Why did he say, come to me? Because he can't see you from a distance. He can't even understand where you're at. He can't even, come on now. He decided that greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. He can't even understand what you're feeling because of the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. He'll never get it. He was right there in heaven, and he decided he's going to go against, and he was cast down like lightning. The enemy can't even get close to you unless you come to him. That's the terms that Goliath set up. And Goliath wanted David to come to him for hand-to-hand combat that day. Come on over to my side in the valley. Get close to me. Come on. Come on. Give me one right here. I'll even let you have the first punch. Come here, buddy. I'll let you have it. Let's do some hand-to-hand combat. I prepared for that. But David had other plans. Saul had similar plans when he tried to put the armor on. But David had other plans. He's like, God is going to give us this victory. Not for me. David had no intention of honoring the rituals of single combat that day. He had no intention. Or he would have said, okay, I'll take the armor. But what did he take? He took the slingshot. You know what's cool? In history, slingers were sent before the infantrymen. And slingers, when they threw a sling, it was like a 45 caliber bullet that had accuracy, I believe, don't quote me, but at least like 1,000 feet or more. The accuracy could be like a 45. And in Roman history, there were something like tweezers that they would take to battle for when the slingers came around so they could literally pull the rocks out. Wow. Some of you guys are like this. We always feel sorry for little David and his sling. He was not, in God's eyes, little. He had already proven it. But the thing that made him different was that he said, hey, you know why they were fearful? Because on Goliath's terms, was there not other slingers in the army of Israel? That was part of the army's makeup. But he was the only one that said, I'm not going to your terms. And here he came. And he took it and said, you know what? You might need someone to help you navigate the rocks that are there to come to me. But there it was. Then David said to the Philistine, verse 45, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with your terms, not with what you say, not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is not yours. Who are you? The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Woo! And it came to pass when the Philistine arose. How long did it take him to get up? The devil's threatening you from his armchair. The devil's threatening you with somebody standing in front of him to protect him. And we're afraid. And he arose. I lost my place. It came to pass, and he came and drew nigh to meet David. This does not sound, the Bible is not recording that in Goliath came running. Ooh. Oogie boogie, oogie boogie, oogie boogie, oogie boogie. He didn't come running with his spear. He didn't come running with the guy in front of him. He came probably pretty slowly, because because he was still expecting his terms to be met. But then, get the juxtaposition here. David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. You see, the deal of it is, again to reiterate, Goliath was an infantryman, hand-to-hand combat, and David was a slinger. And whenever you have a slinger and an infantryman, and they're coming from a distance, the slinger wins every time. The slingers get rid of all the guys. So when the infantrymen come in on their side, they got a lot less to deal with. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. You say, well, how am I going to kill it? How am I going to take care of the things? You know what? You don't have to worry about all that. The battle's God's. I don't need to carry things. You carry things with you thinking, oh, I'm going to take this. Oh, I don't know, Pastor. I'm coming. I'm going to get there one day. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to carry this stuff. You don't need it. Just do what God's given you. What's he given you? I'm going to sling my praise. I'm going to sling my worship because I can see it from a distance. I can pray. You might be a million miles away, but I'm going to pray, and that's going to have like accuracy like nothing else. You getting where I'm going? You seeing this? You starting to feel it? What you bind on earth will be bound. Come on now. So David prevailed. Therefore he stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out and slew him, cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The victory is not ours. It's the Lord's. What do you need today? What do you need today? What do you need today? You feel like something's happened, and you're feeling like, oh, I've been through this tribulation, and I've been staying faithful. So would Paul and Silas. They prayed for somebody, and the terms that they were given was you're going to be beaten. You're thrown in prison, and there's you're put in the middle of it. But you know what? They said, you know what? I don't understand. But they started slinging their praise. And when they started slinging their praise, you know what happened? The walls began to shake, and the chains began to fall. And the terms that the enemy said, you're done. It's over. No more prayers answered. Revival broke out with the very person that was guarding them. The whole family was baptized. Joshua, unfortified walls of Jericho. You're not getting through. Yes, you will. You just keep being faithful. And when the time comes, they were marching. And when they got close to those days that they needed, as they would have been faithful, I believe in the Holy Ghost. Y'all have been faithful through a lot. You've been faithful through a lot of different things. You've been faithful in the wilderness. You've been faithful in the times that God's given you. And I'm here to declare to you in the name of Jesus that it's time to shout and let the stones be slung. It's time to receive. The enemy knows when it's individual. If they can, the enemy knows that if you come together and you bind together, that there's no way they can win. So they're going to try and reset the terms. How much have you fought in your own life, in your own mind, in your own family, as a pastor, as an individual? How much over the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years has it been getting in your head? Saying you're no good. What the doctor says is not good. This is going to be it. What the enemy says, this is how it's going to be. I can't get a job. I can't find the right place. I can't do this. In Jesus' name, the terms that God has set, let no one make new terms for you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What's that mean? Through the good days and in the bad. I can be content. I can be victorious. I can. I can. Not through me, but through Christ. Through Christ. How do we do it? In our prayer, in our praise, in our worship, in our fasting, in the reading of the Word. God gives us the strength to do it. You can make it with your words that you speak. I believe it, God. I don't know how, but I receive it in Jesus' name. I expect it, God. Every day, I thank you, God. It's mine in Jesus' name. And you start to move. And when you move, the rocks will fly. Hey, I forgot. Didn't even think. The rocks will cry out. How? Through our praise. And when the praise starts going and the rocks start, you know what? The enemy, whoo, I've never thought about that before. But the rocks will cry out. In our praise, the rocks are flying. And anything around when we start to pray in the Holy Ghost, you don't know what's happening. But there's rocks that are flying. There's enemies that are falling. You say, well, I'm camped. There's an enemy all around me. Just start praising and let God do the work. Enemy can't touch you unless you let him. When we're talking about the armor of God, and it says, finally, my brethren, in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Hopefully I can see good. In Jesus' name I can. There you go. There's the faith. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. It's not your might. It's his might. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You're not going to just stand, but you're going to be able to stand and be ready. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses of high places. Wherefore, here we go, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Get this, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. What's that mean about the wicked? Read it again. I believe it was Brother Brown. I was preaching with this, and he told me later. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. It doesn't say to withstand the sword. It doesn't say to withstand the punches. But the only way he can touch us is from a distance. He can't even get close to you. But sometimes we allow that fear to try and penetrate in our life. We allow the fear of this world to penetrate. And it keeps us from receiving the victory. When if every day we can take that faith and say, I believe it, God, victory is mine. And you start slinging it. Guess what? You're going to take out the archers of the enemy. You're going to take out the people, because you know what? I have the faith, and I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on going. And when they do get to me, it's going to quench out, if he does find me where I'm at. It's going to, oh, you know what? Oh, wow. Oh, I had something I was going through, Pastor. But God's with me. And God took care of it. And I don't know how, but he's still going to do it. What's happening right there? Why is it some people are affected by some things more than others? Now, I'm not saying, the Bible does say that good and bad happens to good and bad. So sometimes it's life. But how is it some people that go through some stuff have a harder time with it? Because they forget to put up their shield. Don't let your faith fall. Don't let your faith fall, but be like David and keep on slinging in faith. God's happening. God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. It's his. It's not ours. It's his. God's ready to do something right now in Jesus' name. As the musicians or however y'all do it, you can come. How do we do it? We do it with the word. We do it with praise. We do it in our faith, and we activate it. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It's in Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name. What do you need? What do you need?
God's got you. Start slinging your praise. It's not time to get in a mindset of, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh please, oh please, oh please. Ask and then praise. And if the thought comes around, it's not going to happen. Oh, I got to go and I got to ask, or I got to do this, or where's it at? Ask and keep praising. And begin to worship. And begin to praise for what God has. There is, you don't have to cower in fear. You are not defeated. You don't have to accept the terms of defeat, or it's over, or there's no hope. He is our hope. What's the scripture say? One can put how many to flight? Anybody remember? What is it? Two can put how many to flight? But this is personal. I can pray with you. And I believe in Jesus' name that God has already started a work and is about to be manifest where you can see things that you've been praying for. In fact, there could be, I believe in Jesus' name. I'll just speak it out in faith right now. If you react in faith today, this moment, the thing that you have been cowering and afraid of, God will do a quick work for His glory today. Remember what Paul said to Timothy. Stir up the gift of God. Timothy was a young minister. He had people that had his family, his mother and his grandmother that had come before him. There are people, we are not here by accident. Pastor Meadows was talking to me, and I'm from Maryland originally, so I don't know all the history of Ohio, but he has said that there is churches in Ohio and the area that have been around for 100 years. There are people that have fasted and prayed for this church to be here. There are people that have come before us, just as Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore seeing we're compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses, that just means there's been a lot come before. You think about the people in the Bible times, but there's been people in our day and age, in our generations and times that have come before us, that have prayed and have fasted. Wherefore seeing they came before us and compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight. Context of the scripture. Let us lay aside the armor that the enemy is telling you. You can only come under these terms. This is off notes. Lay aside the weight. Quit trying to do it on your own. What's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own under. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside the things that you're trying to do it on your own. How can I figure it out? How can I do it, God? How are we going to get the victory? It's not about you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. When we start to acknowledge, we start to praise. And He shall direct your path. God is here. Stir it up, Timothy. Stir it up. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Can we bow our heads? God wants to speak to someone right now. Listen. Just listen to what God has in your heart and your mind. I believe in the Holy Ghost. God is wondering why some have not asked. Some of you may take it offensively why I would say that. But sometimes we ask and we forget, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I pray that that does not offend someone here today. But I challenge you right now. In the Holy Ghost. To do it one more time. One more time, blind Bartimaeus cried out, and he was heard. After all the things the lady with the issue of blood had tried on her own, she tried one more time, just reached out one more time and barely touched the hem of his garment. Feeling defeated, she reached one more time in prayer, in faith. David ran powerfully, knowing he got a spiritual indignation inside of him because he had already had a relationship and understanding, and all the victories he remembered. Stir up the gift that's inside you. What's Paul saying? Has not God already done things for you in your life? Has God not already made a way where there seems to be no way? Has He not already spoken to you in times of sorrow? Has He not already said things to you in a word that only He could speak and then confirmed it already in your life? He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He changes not. So I challenge you this day, however you want to come, and with faith in your heart, do not come defeated. But in whatever way you come today, I challenge you to stir up the faith. Come on, there's a change that just happened right now. Stir up the faith. Can you lift your hands right now all across this place? It's time to receive. Did you feel that? When y'all raised your hands, there was something that changed just like that. I want to tell you, I felt it come in prayer. I didn't come for anybody to see me, but maybe that's what God wanted, so you can know. When I came to this altar today, and during the worship time and during the song time, there was something happened when I stepped past Sister Meadows into this altar area. God spoke to me and said, "My angels are here to heal."
And what you're feeling is the miraculous that is for anyone that will come today. So I challenge you in the Holy Ghost today. If you have a need, if you have a want, if you just want a change in your life and your family, to stand not defeated, to come in whatever way. If you need help, if you just need to come and sit on the front pew, do so. But whatever it is, take a step of faith today. I challenge you to take a step of faith. And however God moves on you, if it's through weeping and intercessory, let it happen. If it's through praise and indignation, praise and say it. It's mine in Jesus' name. Then do it. Whatever it is, if you need the Holy Ghost, God's going to do it as you just walk in faith. If you need a miracle, if you need freedom from addiction, if you need a healing, I'm telling you what, as many as need and come, you will receive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, it's not mine to give, but it's God's. And He said it. He's confirmed it. Come on, let's sling it today. The enemy's a liar. Don't accept the terms of the enemy. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. God will bring you out without a doubt. And you will receive. God will bless. God's going to give you not just what you ask for, but when you start to receive, God's going to pull out a blessing that you can't receive in Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Worship. Just praise today.
Reservations. You're not looking for perfection. There's no need in me pretending. And I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything. You deserve my full attention. Less than my devotion. Speak to me and I will listen. And I give you everything. I'll give you everything. Oh, 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 oh. You can have my heart. Have my heart. Oh, 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 have my heart, have my heart. Oh, 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 have my heart, have my heart. Have my heart. Be the Lord of my emotions. Set me free from selfish motives. Search me till there's nothing hidden. And I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything. Oh, 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 you can have my heart, have my heart. Oh, 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 you can have my heart, have my heart. Is yours forever.
In thy presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Reasons why oranges grow in Florida. Reasons why pineapples grow in Hawaii. It's the atmosphere. He could not do many mighty miracles in his hometown. They were overly familiar with him. And in their familiarity, they didn't tap into his omnipotence, because they judged him on a lower level of familiarity. I want to be close to the Lord, but I don't want to be overly familiar with him. I'm still discovering things about him. Start to know Jesus now and finish never. Hello. Multidimensional God we serve. Start to know him now and finish never. Hallelujah. Praise my God. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's believe God. Let's walk in faith. Let's walk in faith. Let's give the devil a hernia. Let's give him migraines. Let's walk in faith purposefully. Faith is not a feeling, it's a choice. Instead of complaining, I choose to believe. I choose to believe. Let's have him do this thing he did. He had us these cheers, these rants and railings. Come here. They're so powerful. They're so brief. Three steps to a good sermon: be brief, be bright, and be gone, right? These are so brief. Do it. Help us with it.
I believe it.
I believe it.
I receive it.
I receive it.
I expect it.
I expect it.
Huh. How many believe it's yours? It's mine. Not just it's yours, but it's mine in Jesus' name. I believe it. I receive it. I expect it. It's mine in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Isn't that dynamic? Wow. Woo. Powerful. Sister Meadows, our First Lady, is coming to close. And I love the way that she prays. She's an intercessor. I'm married to an intercessor. What have I done, Lord, to do deserve that? Love her. She's something really, really special.
Thank you, God. You've been on display in this service. And we have fresh faith, fresh fire, just because we dropped into church today. Thank you for what you have planted in us. Go with us as we go our separate ways and help us to walk with what we've received and see more and more of you on display in our lives and our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us and reach over to somebody?